Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network. You can go to TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and also SimplyG.com for more information on G.J. Reynolds, the Playful and Powerful Warrior. And I'm telling you, it's so interesting how when I first spotted this query and I said, oh my gosh, then I saw the first thing when I saw Better Off Dead, I said, that's the one I remember the most, and honestly, it's one of my favorite movies. So I want to welcome the program, Celebrity Diane Franklin, and also author Better Off Dead, Last American Virgin, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Diane, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be on your show.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, and especially it's so cool to see like this 80s rebirth. So many people are coming back out in the 80s, and honestly, you guys are more interesting than the ones today in a lot of ways, because some of them, they just really, not a lot of people are putting out great, great films like this that are kind of, you know, that will stand the test of time. We're seeing nowadays these just, you know, just kind of generic type films, especially when we're talking about high school. Look what's on now, Diane. It's awful. I mean,
right.
I don't see 20 years from now, they're going to go and do a bunch of movies. I mean, do a bunch of reunions and stuff. Not at all.
Well, it's so interesting because for me, like, first of all, I didn't really see so much of the difference until my daughter, she makes films. She's a filmmaker. And so she's exploring the media now. And the interesting thing is, you watch movies now and they have to go much quicker and the pace has to be faster because of we have a shorter attention span on the internet. So when you're watching these older movies, it looks like, oh my gosh, they're taking so much time and they took their time with the actors. And it's because, it wasn't as rushed. Today it's more rushed, as I can see. But I do think that, my gosh, it brings back such wonderful memories for people in the 80s. And I do think that the 80s really was a time where we were exploring a different things, and perhaps today we're a little bit more timid to explore. So, especially the movies I was in, more of a kind of cult, funny kind of interesting movies.
I don't think movies, pictures are going to take the chance on those, and ultimately they get the ones that are just going to get the quick buck, and yet they're not going to stand the test of time. So let's talk about your career, Diane. Basically, when you were a child, did you always want to be an actress?
Ever since I was little, and I tell you something, my parents, they were European immigrants. They talked like this with a German accent and an Austrian accent, and they were like, what are we going to do with this child, I was always like running and around and dancing and singing, and I was a very happy little kid. I just had a genuine happiness, and I think it's my parents always were so happy to see me so happy. And I was such a good girl, I think they just really wanted to help me continue that. And so I wanted to be an actress ever since I was little, and they listened to me and they helped me. And so, but I have to say, we had no connections. There was nothing, we didn't know anybody, And so I had my interest starting at 4 years old. That's how early it was. I knew.
So when did you start going after gigs? Did you do a lot of plays in school when you were younger? Or were you a child actor right real young? Or when would you say the first kind of professional acting gig happened?
Right. Well, actually what happened was, and I don't know if you know this, I came out with a book in my life, and I talk about my, history of how I started and how I acted and how I made in the business, which I really recommend to people. Anybody who wants to be an actor or ever thought of being an actor should get this book, only because it's so interesting to see the choices that you have to make along the way. And for me, when I was little, I just wanted to do it, and it wasn't the right timing, but I kept taking singing and dancing, and just because I so enjoyed it. It really was just the act of acting and dancing and singing was such a passion. And so finally, at 10 years old, my parents were like, okay, we have to do something. This child is like, we've got to get her, we have to figure out how to get representation. So it took us a little while to find the right person, but I started with my first modeling job at 10 years old to break into the business. The only way we knew was to start with modeling. We didn't know any other way, just sort of the first step.
Interesting. So again, the biz goes in that way. And again, the book, I want you not to be as detailed because people have to check out, pick up the book. And the fact is, Diane, people have to learn about this business. And we see so many people chasing after it, thinking, I'm going to be the next big thing. No, you're not. It's honestly, when I look at where my radio show's gone, which is far not your career, but I'm getting there. I'm doing well for 4 years doing this, but ultimately I had a lot of late nights staying up late, not making a dime in this. And now I am making money in it. So it's ultimately, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The most important advice for anybody who wants to make it at anything is you have to give to get. You have to give and you have to put out, because first of all, it's not just an altruistic head. It's the ability to, you know, you need to show people what you can do before they say, yeah, you can do this. Or even for somebody to say, I'll pay you to do this. So it's not a mystery. You have to do it. And so if you don't enjoy it, then I don't know if, you know, it really comes to the thing. Would you do it for free or would you do it to be paid? You know, that's the question you have to ask yourself. And if you have to be paid, well, then maybe that's not the position, job. You know, you have to love it.
And in this field, like I said, I have had talked to so many actors that were in other fields, and they said, you know, I don't make the money I was making before. But it is what it is. This is what I'm doing, and too bad. And this is my passion. This is what I love, for sure.
There's also a false hierarchy of the ability to feel like, you know, as you get older, you should be making more and more money. That is not life. That is not life. It's not the older you get, the more money you make. Sometimes you make more, sometimes you make less. You know, if you live your life based on money, then you are never rich. You are rich when you gain experiences in life and you are sharing it with people around you, whether that's family, whether that's friends. That's richness. Seriously. I mean, because money will come and go, and if you value yourself on that, you have to value yourself on what you've learned, who you are, your character.
Well, absolutely, Diane. And it's a situation where, as I said before, you really have to search for yourself, find yourself, and really know this is what I want to do. And if you're going out there with like ideas that, you know, you're going to be get rich quick in this business, it's never going to happen, and you're doing the wrong business. This is an art. This is an art just like writing is an art. This is an art just like painting is an art. Again, this field is something where you have to love it, because it's not going to pay your bills forever, and you're going to constantly struggle in so many ways. So, Diane, basically, you said 10 years old. When was your big break then? At 10, you went ahead, you know, the modeling you went and started modeling at 10. When did you kind of finally get your break in acting?
Well, it was funny because so I started with modeling, and then everybody else grew and I stopped. So that kind of went, okay, so much for that modeling career. I moved on to commercials because that, to me, that was like, as far as I knew, that was the next step. Whereas, you know, there are other ways to get work. It's just in New York at that time, that was the conventional way. I mean, when I went I was auditioning, like when I would go on auditions, I would go with like Lori Loughlin and Rich Shields and Elizabeth Shue, and you know, like we were all acting at the same time.
Wow,
and
yeah,
you know, this was sort of like that's what people did. Now today it seems it's almost more interesting, because what happens is people get discovered through college and student films. They get a part and a role in that. And they've never did any acting until then, but then they get involved in college film, you know, like you say De Niro, you know, I don't know if De Niro ever did a commercial, but I know that he did a student film, and that's where people started seeing his characters, and they went, oh my gosh, look at this intensity, look at this guy, because they got to see it first. It's not about, you know, it wasn't like suddenly he was on the street and somebody went, bah, he's talented and he's a great actor. They saw his work. So he did it in student film. So the key for any person who wants to be an actor is you have to show people, whether it used to be just do plays and let people see your work, but now, you know, you could do plays and television, theater. I mean, you could do YouTube, you can do, you know, student films. There's many more venues to show what you can do. So I did commercials. I did a play of New Jersey with Jo Beth Williams, and she played my sister. I keep saying my mom, but she was my sister. And I'd have to say my big break was actually a soap opera, and that was As the World Turns. And that was the first time I played a character. Her name was Lois Middleton, and she was a manipulative teen. She was she got pregnant, and she hid her birth control pills in her sneakers, and she was trying to get this character, Betsy, into trouble, which was completely ironic because as a teenager, I was actually very naive and very innocent. So it was really funny. Every time I would do this role, and the girl Betsy, she was much more worldly because she had been like a regular on this show. So that was really a funny experience for me. But I was recurring, and that's when I started to learn how to play characters.
Interesting. So,
go ahead.
No, that's okay. No, I was going to say, so your parents, what did they think? Essentially, they said they raised a good girl, and this is the role you get.
Yeah.
Big role you get.
That's funny. You know, that's interesting because my parents were always really supportive of what I wanted to do. I guess it's because we all knew it was acting and make-believe, and they were very proud of me. They were very proud of me, and they really loved me. And I mean, all I ever saw was total support. It was so interesting because they weren't pushy at all. My mom was like, you know, Verva, take you on the train there, go to, you know, the city, and okay. But, you know, she was like, she would take me on auditions. And then my dad worked in the city, so I would meet him for, you know, or as I got older, I went by myself and met my dad. And so they were, I guess, somewhat more hands-on. They were just always concerned that I was safe and that I think that was more the case. They just wanted to make sure I was safe because they knew that I had a good head on my shoulders and they could trust me. And I had been doing it so long that I knew what to do and what not to do. So the roles, I think they just, you know, it was funny. They were good sports about it. And I think being European, they never had a problem with maybe the sensuality or the sexuality. It would have been more the violence that they would have been more like, oh, I don't know if you want to do that. But I don't know. It's kind of a funny interest. But it is interesting how your family, you know, it either works well with your family or your family doesn't want you to do it and you have to kind of be an adult and do your own thing. So that's a good question.
Absolutely. And so from there, people saw you in this role and this helped get more work, right?
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my first feature film, which I got the lead in, which was Last American Virgin. And that is that was like the biggest step of my career as far as I was lead. I wasn't even like a small partner film. I was the main character. I was the girl who guys fell in love with in the story. And it was a very kind of risque film because there's nudity and there's abortion and there's drugs, I guess, in the movie. So there's a lot of sensationalism about it. And so it was, when we did it, you know, it was funny. We didn't even know if it was going to get distribution, really. I mean, it was one of those films that, you know, there were so many other films being made at the time, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Anything that was made by a studio was guaranteed great distribution. So for us, when we did it, we were thinking, well, maybe, who knows if anyone will ever see this film. And it became sort of a cult hit. Later on, like now, I mean, it just came out in the UK recently, and it's a tremendous, it's affected my career in a lot of ways.
Well, Diane, we get back, I guess we'll have to talk about that as well, especially with our two UK stations, and maybe we have to bring you back just to talk about The Last American Virgin. So we have a lot of different things to cover in specific ways in your first interview, hopefully many on the Total Education Network, because it's just such an interesting situation. So you're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Simply G Media Network. Again, you can go to simplyg.com for more information or totaltutor.net. And I'm with celebrity Diane Franklin. And very interesting, we talk about The Last American Virgin and all these movies. We can lead into, I guess, a monthly segment to talk about them till again, then I'm going to ask her friends to come on the show because, again, we have so many different things to talk about because these are such cult classics. I could talk about them for hours on end, but ultimately, you're right. The Last American Virgin, do you have a huge fan following from that one as well? We're talking about Better Off Dead, which, which we'll get to. But The Last American Virgin, I mean, flock to this, right? And still talk about.
But I do have to say that, and even Terrorvision, Last American Virgin, the great thing that I was able to experience in my career was, first of all, it's fan from. Really, the center of it was 1980 to 1989 when I finished with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. I did do some work after that, but that was really the golden time of my career because that was when I represented an 80s teen. And that is was sort of like... Like you can go back and you can look at the films that I've done, and then it gives you a reference of what it was like during that time period and what it was like to be a teenager.
Right.
And but what I was so fortunate to experience as an actress, and you know, it is the idea that I had so many different kinds of genres, whether it was drama or comedy or horror or even just really. Goofy movie, a horror spoof kind of a film. So I've engaged a lot of different people in my life, and that's one of the things that's really wonderful about having a page on Facebook, because what's happening is I am the center or the focus point of all these different people who are brought together based on different genres. And so it's just like just going back to the 80s and say, okay, remember this film, and
right.
You know, what do you think of that? And by the way, if anyone's interested, you just go to Diane Franklin on Facebook and look for Black and White Picture from Better Off Dead. And that is me. It's actually my site. So if you listen to this and you really want to, and you want to, you know, become part of the group here and find out what I'm doing, there's so much going on. I love to have you be my friend. All right.
Awesome.
And that's really me answering. I actually read every single email. It does take me a while, though. It's really funny.
So it's definitely a passion of yours. And like I said, and that's a great person to see, you know, that these fans, they're not going to leave you. And the 80s fans, ultimately, we could go through all the different teen idols in the 80s, and unbelievable. So basically, you said you did, so after you did The Last American Virgin, then you did Amityville, or did you do Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? How did it go, I guess, timeline-wise?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Okay, so... Then after I did, right after I did Virgin, I did Amityville. So I did a horror film next. So at the time, nobody knew, like Virgin had not really come out or was out just a little bit, but Amityville came very quickly. And the thing about Amityville was I had never done a horror film, and I always thought it would be a really cool experience to do one. And the reason I say that is because as an actress, you want to play a lot of different parts. And so how often do you get to die or come back to life and haunt? Or, you know, this doesn't happen. So it's only in the movies that you get to experience this amazing thing. So I really thought that was like something I really wanted to experience as an actress. And so where some people might be creeped out, I really was excited about doing it. But the thing was that this movie was based on a true story, the DeFeo murders, and it also had some very sort of delicate subject matter, and that was that I had incest with my brother in the film. And so, again, like this is something that not every actress perhaps wanted to audition for or felt comfortable about. And so I talk about that in my book in a more sensitive, real way. But I think that the reason why I was able to do that role was because I didn't have a brother. So I didn't have that awkward, weird feeling that perhaps some other actress would.
Interesting. Again, you went after it and definitely took the bull by its horns in those two roles. And then things kind of, I guess, got a little bit more it changed your roles after that, right? After those two, where you got, again, Amityville helped you as well with Last American Virgin, that you're really starting to be known as this teen that people wanted to get to know. So more and more opportunities came your way.
Well, the other thing was at that time was people could see that I could handle a lead, and that also the characters that I played were very, very naive. And because I was over 18 and I could play so cognizant. That was, you know, that's an archetype. That's something that people will, you see that over written over and over and over again, the innocent and the person who's just, you know, inexperienced. And so there's a lot you can do with that role. But after that, so still, I'm trying to still break in the business. You're seeing, you know, like, even though I'm getting leads, so there was nudity in Amityville, and there's nudity in Virgin, and I was like, oh, you know, I just, when is this going to stop? So then what happened was I started getting a lot of television work, and I did, like, a movie of the week called Summer Girl, where I was the lead in that, and that was wonderful. So I played up with Barry Bostwick and Kim Darby, and I play this evil babysitter that kidnaps the kids and seduces the husband and pushes my boyfriend off a cliff and drugs the mother, and it's like very dramatic. So, but that was a great role, and I played sort of a schizophrenic, but it was seductive and, again, just a really fun part. And then I also did a movie of the week where I had the lead called Deadwood Lessons, and I played a farm girl, an innocent farm girl who comes to this town, and my boyfriend was Bill Paxton, and it was with Ali Sheedy and Dina Freeman. She was on, like, Too Close for Comfort, I think, and Nancy Cartwright, who plays Bart Simpson, who's, like, the role of Bart in the,
oh, wow,
the Simpsons. So it was like the beginning of everyone's careers. I mean, I think Ali had just finished War Games, and all of us are just young, up-and-coming actors and just wanting to do really good work. And I have to say that at the time in the 80s, actors really wanted to do good work. It wasn't light. It wasn't silly. It wasn't like... Right. It wasn't for the money. It was a time of the passion was very important in cinema. And I think that's what you see when you're talking about the 80s films, is passion was very big, even if it was over the top or if it was, you know, very real, gritty. It was passion. It was a time of passion. And today, it's a different head. Maybe it's more like, I guess we have, more, I don't think passion is the focus yet, and it probably will go back again, but I think every generation changes, you know, it looks at the generation before and says, oh, I want to define myself, so let's forget this, the generation, so like the 80s were very ups, the 90s yes. were very low-key, very grounded, serious, the music was very, you know, minimal, you know, and not, you know, like you got the, everyone was back playing guitar on stage as opposed to these big wild bands and big shows of the 80s. So every generation, we bounce back and forth, but it's fantastic. I mean, I think that that's what makes, you know, each generation very, very special.
Well, absolutely, Diane. So from there, again, you're getting these opportunities, and I guess more of the roles become more teen roles. So it looks like the 80s changed in a lot of ways, from more dark mm-hmm. to more, I guess, mm-hmm. Comedy. Would you agree?
And well,
I guess
here's how it goes. Beginning of the 80s, very dark, gritty, real, but started with those teen films, that John Hughes time, all those films John Hughes did, and teens were getting lead roles in films. This was not happening really before the 80s. Before the 80s was, it was like teenagers were Freaky Friday, and it was like girls were tomboys. They weren't sexual.
Right.
Sexy. Suddenly the 80s comes and teens are now sexy. Phoebe Cates, like, you know, just became a whole different world. But by the mid-80s, it was also a time of women's liberation. It really was. Women, even I as an actress, and I talk about this in my book, the time where, you know, remember the 80s were like, women were wearing power suits and sneakers. You know, I can be in a man's world. And so here you start in the 80s where there's this, I play this feminine, you know, girl that's so the stereotype of a young woman. And then by the mid-80s, we're now having, you know, Monique Genet, comedy, funny, you know, it's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, The English Princess, you know. So the 80s then turned into this really fun, upbeat, cool, playful time. And but it was also a transition for women as well. Women were like, you know, by the mid-80s, like, you know, I could be Monique Janae. I could say, hey, let's, you know, fix your, I'm going to fix your car, and I'm going to, you know, get you, you know, push you to go after your dreams. And I became more of a female hero, I guess, in this sense, you know?
Well, absolutely. So, definitely, Diane. So from there, the opportunity, I guess, would you consider your biggest break Better Off Dead, in your opinion, from Remember?
I think Better Off Dead was my, I hope I'm remembered from that film the most. I think it's only because it really matches my personality. I'm such an upbeat person, and I'm really, I think, closest to being Monique Janae as any character. So if I should talk like this, because then it would be very nice for you to just imagine that I am really French, you know? So, I would say Better Off Dead was probably the most memorable role. Although Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures got me the most exposure, most people know I think about that film. But if you haven't seen Better Off Dead, it is not a scary movie. It is a comedy.
Yes, it is hilarious. The funniest.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And it changed television, even. That movie created the whole, iCarly, Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, because the gentleman played opposite me in Danny Schneider, who tortures me in the movie, he runs Schneider's Bakery, and that he was, you know, Nickelodeon television. And that sense of humor and that kind of really just funny jokes that are not meant to be, it's just situations that are funny. It is really started with Better Off Dead, with Savage Steve Holland creating that script. He is a genius. He's wonderful. I'm so flattered and happy that he cast me and that I know him even today as a friend. He's just wonderful.
And it's amazing when you think about those things, for sure. And so, yeah, I'm remembering more and more of the storylines of it. And honestly, it's because, again, you're kind of flashing me back to the last time I watched the movie. And, the role and the thought process and ultimately a guy looking for someone else and then finding you in so many ways. But it's the teenager high school movie that again goes, I think, is related to the 16 Candles, to the all mm-hmm. the other ones, because ultimately those are ones where, you know, it was a little bit dirty in ways, but ultimately it was the 80s. It was truly the 80s. And
well, 80s had, you know, that obviously that there's some sex in the 80s. It reflects the time period. But the thing that's so interesting with Better Off Dead is, it was a sleeper. When it came out, it wasn't as popular at all. And it became a movie that people from in college loved. And they passed it to their friends, one after another person. And by the, you know, college movies, you know, I think at that time when people were able to watch VHSs in their dorm rooms, and they would just get together and watch it. And it was a feel-good movie, and it made everybody feel really happy. And you could watch it any time, and it would make you feel good. And you didn't, even if you knew the story, there people, it's such a quotable movie. It really stood out at the time. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons I think it didn't do well with the critics at the time, or perhaps got the accolades that it maybe should have, is because during the time in the 80s, critics really had a lot more power with film, because people couldn't watch a lot of these movies at home,
right,
at the beginning. And so when you went to the theater, you paid your good $5 to go to the movies. You put your money down. And so a critic couldn't say, this is a great movie. The best they could say was, I thought it was funny, but they felt like if you're going to spend your money, you're going to spend money on something that's really worth it, like a Sophie's Choice or I don't know, maybe Kramer versus Kramer, like go and spend your money on something good. But when video came out, suddenly it was like, oh, come on, you know, we all have different tastes, and if you want to laugh and you want to be happy and you like this film, you've got to see this. So I think that's where it was just the media and the way we watch things really affected the popularity of this film.
Well, I can't believe we're running out of time, Diane, but I guess it will save us to come back again and talk more about what's going on. But I know all my listeners
pleasure.
Out have to go ahead and purchase the book. Where can we purchase the book and learn more about you, Diane?
Okay, so first of all, the book is called Diane Franklin, The Excellent Adventures of the Last American French Exchange Babe of the 80s. And if you can't remember that, just go to Amazon and put Diane Franklin book. Diane Franklin, very easy. And you can also find it on Kindle. And I guess you could find it through online Barnes & Noble, but Amazon is the place to get it. You cannot get this in the bookstores, only on Amazon and Kindle. So it's an amazing book. It's 8x10. I have tons of pictures in it. And the great thing is that when I did this book, it's like from my heart. I knew, like, it's like a walk through memory lane, how I became an 80s babe. But I have chapters on Bill and Ted and Last American Virgin and Better Off Dead and Terror Vision. And I have these specific chapters, and I rated the chapters so that if you have kids, you could say, only look at the PG-13, no rated R, which was restricted in the 80s, right? Now they have M, it's R. So I would consider it to my audience. And it's more the subject matter than the, you know, there's no nothing to risque in here. So, I do talk about every aspect of my career. And I tell you, it is an unbelievable book. The reviews have been fantastic. So I think you'll never see anything like it. I just had to tell my real story, you know, from my words. It's got my cadence. I wanted to feel like people come to Starbucks with me and hang out, and we talk for 2 hours.
All right.
You probably can see I could do.
Absolutely. Diane, good talking to you, and we'll definitely stay in touch, and we'll have you back next month. So take care.
Lovely. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, powered by the Simply G Media Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Beach Lifestyle Radio Show on the Simply G Radio Network Celebrity segment, and I'm really excited to welcome my co-host and the founder of Beach Lifestyle and the Simply G Media Network, G.J. Reynolds. Again, you can go to simplyg.com to learn about G.J. Reynolds, the playful and powerful warrior. G.J., how are you? I know you're enthused again for our guest.
Well, I'm excited because for years, and I mean years, I followed her and seen her on TV, and yes, I did some workouts. So I'm publicly saying I did some workouts watching her on TV, and I know my wife's a big fan, and you know, I could go on and on about, you know, all her accolades. She's an author. She's you know, when I think of fitness, she comes to mind, and I think that's about the best statement I can say. And for over 30 years, she's been the true testament of being fit and helping others and encouraging others to be at their best. And obviously that's part of what this show is helping everyone who listens to be their best, transform into your best self. And she's done it all. And please welcome to the show, Denise Austin. How are you doing, Denise?
Oh, thank you for that great intro. That's so sweet. I'm doing great. Okay, everybody, suck in your butt. Come on, pull in those abs. Squeeze your buttock. If you don't squeeze it, no one else will.
Well, I could tell, Denise, you're fired up today, and we had a really good conversation last time, but I know our listeners have been tweeting out and have been writing, wanting to know specifically what makes you want to work out, because we were talking about, again, my co-host and his ability to work out for so many straight days, and we'll get to that in a little bit for the audience that a lot of them already know that are fans with G.J., but how are you able to motivate yourself to work out each and every day? What makes it so that you can get up each day and work out?
Well, I know how much better I feel when I'm done. That is, you know, a feeling of self-accomplishment, like you overcame procrastination. And truly, I only work out for 30 minutes, but I do it most every single day. So consistency pays off, and the motivation to have energy for the day, the motivation to feel good and feel, you know, have the enjoyment of life with good health.
Absolutely. And it's something that it's very interesting what you said. You feel great after you work out, because a lot of people, yeah, when they have to decide to do something that, you know, as my co-host tells me all the time, I mean, I'm amazed at how he works out all the time. But he tells me he doesn't really enjoy working out, but he feels great afterwards. Right, GJ? You feel great that your body feels great. You have the energy to do it, but it's not your favorite thing to do. Right, G?
It's definitely.
I'm the same way, you guys.
So we're going to definitely. GJ's going to share, and I want to get back to you, Denise. Yeah, G, isn't that true? Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely do not enjoy working out. I enjoy how I feel, and Denise just touched on it, you know, how you feel. And then another thing that Denise added is overcoming procrastination, because actually, after this interview, I have to go and run 2 miles, and I'm on a sprint program today. And today's going to be a hard, hard workout. And so I've been thinking about, man, I don't really want to go today. And overcome that desire to not do it, to do it, to see how I feel. And obviously, after I'm completed, I'm glad I did it. And, you know, I'm inspired by other people. And that's one of the things that, you know, you've been an inspiration to so many people. And, you know, you've been living the example. And you've also shared that it only takes 30 minutes, really, to have a really good workout. And I find that it's more important now in my life than when it was when I was even younger. And that's one of the mistakes that I see a lot of people make. As they get older, they quit working out. And I think it should be the other way around. And so what's your point of view about, you know, people who are getting older? I mean, obviously, you know, you and I are in the midlife, so I don't want to even say your age, and if they want to plan out, they can. But, you know, we're about the same age, and we're continuously doing it. What would you encourage our listeners to do, and some of the key points of, you know, the older people that are listening as well?
The first thing is to commit yourself to being fit and getting in shape. So I tell everyone to just start just 10 minutes a day. If you could just commit 10 minutes a day, and everybody can commit 10 minutes a day, then eventually build that to 50 minutes, then 20 minutes, and then do 30 minutes. By the time about in a month, you'll be able to do the 30 minutes. So if you could just start off the first week saying, I'm just going to work out for 10 minutes each day, and then you're on the right track, because then you put the time to make it a habit, because it's all about good habits.
Absolutely. It's definitely about good habits. And that's such a great point, that you got to start small and increase the amount of workouts you do. And you might just get off the couch and start walking at first, Denise. You might just, it's something that ultimately it's the person and how, but being consistent is the key, right, Denise? Whatever you're doing and working out, you consistently have to do it so you can build up to get to the right level that you want to get to, right?
Yes, and to see results, you have to be consistent. And so if you could just start off every day with 10 minutes and build it up, you got it. You got it made. You will see the difference, and you won't get sore as much. So here's the chance to just get started, and then everything takes its place. And also, eating right is very important, too, because it goes hand in hand with exercise and eating right, enough sleep, good water. So it's all kind of the big picture to a healthier lifestyle.
Well, absolutely. And again, Denise Austin's Twitter offers a lot of information, and also her website. Now, GJ, when she talked about consistency, I know that definitely speaks to you, but not just the consistency, to get started doing it. You talked about you weren't going through sprinting when you started your challenge, when you started your first 90-day challenge. You didn't just start by going out there and sprinting against world-class athletes. You had to start at the beginning and start at the ground up, right, G?
Correct. And Denise, you know, touched on it, is, you know, start small and then build from there. And that's exactly what I did. I had small goals. I had realistic goals. And then each day I said, okay, I'm going to do this a little bit more, a little bit faster, a little bit, you know, a little more heavy weight. And I just kept building bit by bit. And then next thing I know, okay, that's not too hard. It's pretty easy. And so I think the best thing is start small, have realistic goals, and she hit it right on the nail, is be consistent. And I look at it now, if I were to take one day off Now I've given myself an excuse to take off 2 days and take off 3 days. And that's why I do something every single day. That's why I get in at least 2 miles every single day. And it's amazing how fast I can get 2 miles in and how easy it is once you start doing it. In the beginning, it was so hard. I was like, there's no way I'm doing 2 miles. And, you know, I did it, but it took forever. And so just start small and work your way back up. And that's what I found. So Denise, I know for me, I found out that I worked better when I had a workout buddy or a trainer. They tend to create more accountability and push me a little harder. What's your view on having a workout buddy or a trainer?
Oh, I love that. That's what I do, too. On Sundays, I call all my girlfriends or my sister or find out what my husband's going to work out that week. And I kind of map out my week, who I'm going to, like, you know, walk and gab with, or who I'm going to work out and do yoga with, or who's coming over and we'll do some light weights. So I have kind of I mix and match my workouts during the week because I want to see my girlfriends and catch up with my sister. So I turn kind of my workout time into, you know, like visiting my girlfriends and friends and then also get in the workout. So I make it so it's like fun so I know I'll do it. And also the best part with the workout buddy is if one day you really don't feel like doing it, the other one you're accountable for and it forces each other. You become your own and each other's personal trainer without the cost.
I like the idea about when you say that workout buddy, setting that goal together, saying, okay, I want to, and you know, it's Christmas time and the holidays that people put on the pounds, but maybe to stop that insanity before it happens, before November and December, before Thanksgiving and Christmas, where we put on that extra 10 to 15 pounds, that workout buddy, finding a friend to start working out with right now, even though it's cold in a lot of places, except where Denise is. We're not gonna feel jealous of you, Denise, because you're where you're at compared to where GJ and I are at, where it's like 30 degrees right now, and nasty out. What would you kind of challenge people to tell people, Denise, to go out there and find that workout buddy and go for it? Because now is the time to start working out, not after the holidays, right? Am I correct?
Right. Start your goal habit now. But also that's why my DVDs do well, because I kind of am your personal trainer. You just put me in your DVD player, and I promise I'll get you motivated, stand up off that couch, and get moving. So if you know, have trying to put schedules together and that's too stressful, then go ahead and just get my DVD, and I promise you I'll give you a great workout right there in the privacy of your own home. And I have a brand new one that everyone would love, and it's easy. It's called Fat Burning Walk. So you're walking, you're working your arms while you're walking, it all in the privacy of your own home. And you walk 4,200 steps in this 30-minute fat blast workout.
Wow. And that's so important. And gee, it's the time is now, right? When we're talking about working out, gee, this is the time. You don't wait and say, I'll wait till after the holidays. How many people do you hear about talk about that all the time, gee, when they're looking to lose weight, but they say, hey, let me wait till the holidays are over.
I hear it all the time. And I hear and now I'm seeing on Facebook and on Twitter where, okay, we're going into the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and obviously there's always these great parties and great meals and family gatherings, and so they're using that as the excuse to, well, I'll wait till January. And obviously January is the biggest, you know, resolution time, and then what I find is most people by March or April have given up on the resolution, and I say, well, forget about the resolution, forget about waiting, start right now and start those baby steps, and it'll make it easier come January to be in the best shape just by having that mental consciousness. And, you know, as Denise also talked about, you know, you got to have fun with it. And that's the only reason I've been able to keep my streak going, is that I have to tell myself, how am I going to have fun with this? How do I have fun with, you know, the people that I'm working out with, or my trainer, is just simply being, you know, having fun, make it as a, you know, a part of your life, and build it in starting right now.
Correct. Denise, do you agree with all that?
Oh, definitely. And music is really important, too, for me. I love to work out with live music. So getting on, you know, some loud music to get you started, it really pumps you up.
Okay, when we get back, we're going to go more with Denise Austin, and I want to hear her upcoming projects. It's funny, we probably could have a laundry list. Denise stays so busy still with her brand, with her opportunities. It's just so much fun to learn more about what's going on with her. It's somebody you can talk to all the time because she has this passion. She wants to get people healthy, feeling great. Eliminate obesity. All these goals are for her, and she says that we can do it in an easy way. So when we get back, more with Denise Austin and GJ Reynolds, you're listening to The Beach Lifestyle Show, powered by the Simply G Media Network Celebrity Segment, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to The Beach Lifestyle Radio Show on the Simply G Media Network. You can go to simplyg.com and also my website, totaltutor.net. And we're with Denise Austin, and I'm just really enjoying this conversation we're having with Denise, because what Denise is showing us is one thing that she touched upon that we really didn't get into enough, I think, is that Denise even believes what GJ believes, that or has this belief. She doesn't enjoy working out till it's over. So, Denise, how many people out there are struggling right now just because they don't want to work out, because they don't want to go ahead and do it, because they don't like the process? But after it, you feel so great, right?
Yes. It's, you know, honestly, just the first 5 minutes are the hardest. Once you're in it, that's okay because you're going, and even if it's walking, you're out there. But usually it's the first 5 minutes that we don't like. But once you pass that first 5 minutes, then it gets better and you feel good. So you just gotta start, because that's the key.
Absolutely, absolutely. Start, and that's ultimately the key. And what GJ always says in certain situation is, he plays around, jokes around, as he'll be talking about when his new book comes out, that he finds ways to make it fun. He finds ways to joke around with his trainer. He finds ways to make it a game. Right, G? It's not, oh, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and work out and no one's going to be around me. You want to surround yourself with the right people working out, either a personal trainer or a workout buddy, G, because it can become very monotonous if you're not finding fun ways to do it, as you were kind of sharing earlier.
Well, you nailed it, and I seek to have fun, enjoy the process, and I think that's one of the things of getting off the couch is just saying, okay, I'm going to, you know, here's what I choose to do, and I'm going to enjoy the process. And make that statement right then and there, and it makes it a lot easier to move forward. And obviously, Denise does that inspiration, you know, whether it's live on the radio or, you know, on her DVDs or in her books. You know, she's definitely, you know, inspiring others, and she's continuously doing it. One of the things that I recognize, and, you know, when I was going to her website and viewing it, you know, and is that she's always come up with something new and something more exciting to fit into the fitness, so that it's not always the same mundane thing. And that's one of the things I think is key, is if we're staying the course, is, you know, mixing it up and doing something a little different periodically. And obviously Denise has been able to do that for 30 years. And, you know, and I think it's a great model for the average person who's there on the couch saying, I know I should do it, I just don't feel like it. You know, just simply have fun, choose to do it, and it'll be okay. So, Denise, I know you're doing a lot of things, and you're all over the place still, and you're having fun. What are some of the projects that you're currently working on? And also, let's, you know, where everybody can find more information about you and connect with you personally.
Well, I have a new book out that everyone would love. It's called Side Effects Skinny, and all the foods to eat that will actually help you lose weight and have good side effects, which would be to lose weight and feel better. And then in the book, too, I kind of put you on a three-week plan with eating tips, with exactly meal plans, what to eat. So I've already done all the homework for you for calorie content, making sure you get really good fruits and vegetables and good protein. And then I put you on a 7-minute-a-day exercise toning routine. So for 7 minutes, you work on every body spot in the whole body, head to toe. And then, of course, you got to do your walking cardio or any type of 30-minute cardio, too. But 7 minutes will give you that good tone that you can do to get yourself started on the right, really on a better track for your life. And it's not that hard, and you can do it. So that's one thing. And then I have a whole new line of exercise accessories and equipment at Rite Aid. So if you want a jump rope or an exercise mat or exercise weights, everything's very reasonable right there at all Rite Aids across the nation.
Oh, wow. It's interesting when I think it amazes you, right, Denise, in a lot of ways that you constantly still have the brand out there in so many ways. And people are just so, when you mention Denise Austin, you think of working out, helping people get in shape, and all these different products. So when you walk into these stores, does it kind of blow you away at times seeing all these things that are out there of yours?
Yes. Yes, but still I want to do better and do more. And, you know, Americans are still overweight, so I still got to keep up it going. You know, the mission is to get them fit. And so I'm still working on that.
Well,
so it's always forever.
Well, I'm calling out, I want Denise Austin to have her television show back. I remember when I would go over to my mother-in-law's all the time, and when I was in college and stuff, I mean, finishing up grad school, don't worry, it's not that long ago, but that we got to get her back on TV, especially when she was doing a lot of the stuff with ESPN and all these things, because ultimately what Denise is able to do is literally allow not just a person who's, you know, these big muscle heads or, you know, the ones that you see where you're driving right now, Denise, that are in just perfect shape. They go to the workout every day. We're thinking of the average everyday person that wants to get in shape, that can't go through a hard workout video. You were there for them for so many years in so many ways. And
24.
Wow.
24 years. I know. I missed it. But, you know, there's so much on the internet now with, you know, my DeniseAustin.com. You can get clips and things like that. But that's where the things are going now, towards the internet. So it's kind of, well, times are changing, but they don't need it on TV anymore, which I was kind of a little sad about, but that's life, you know. But I had a really great run for 24 years.
and that's so, why you're known so well, because of the television. But like I said, people, look at it. Arsenio came back, so if I start tweeting it out, Denise Austin needs to have another show back on the air, we'll get it done. Don't worry. It would happen, I'm telling you, because, again, we're reinventing the wheel, as GJ sees. 80s are coming back, right, G? Hard and heavy, won't you?
Well,
yeah.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I'm seeing opportunity. Yeah, 24 years of a great run on TV. But like you said, the internet's there. And if our senior can come back and the new kids on the block can come back, and last night I watched, you know, one of them being interviewed by Arsenio. And, you know, he said, I had to take a break in order to come back bigger, better, stronger. And Arsenio.
I feel like I have more knowledge, too, and I have so much more to offer being this age and still fitting, you know, staying in great shape at 55. So I think it's a good sign for most people. So I'm working on it. That's why I'm here in California, too.
All right.
I see a show where you and I do it together, Fit Forever, for Forever Fit.
That's the name of my products at Friday, Forever Fit with Denise Austin.
There's a sign right there.
I would like it.
Love
your story too.
Yeah, we have to definitely get you guys connected to talk off air about certain things. But Denise, what we finish up the show always is, what is your 90-day challenge? Meaning that could be for your business, it could be your health. Where do you want to see yourself in the next 90 days? We all talk about on Beach Lifestyle, especially with GJ Reynolds, he sets goals and objectives, and once they're met, where do you see yourself in the next 90 days, Denise?
Well, I see myself totally fit, getting my tummy rock hard, and it's there, but, you know, I can always improve and eat healthier. You know, I'm trying to always eat healthier, so in 90 days, I hope it to be in perfect shape, because I go in spurts. So then, I honestly have to be filming some new DVDs in 90 days.
Well, excellent. And we'll make sure that you and GJ can kind of connect, because I really see that GJ and you are definitely showing people that 50 doesn't matter. You can be in the shape that you are in at 20. And it doesn't take hours on end. It takes discipline, it takes hard work, and it takes consistency. And you two are definitely living that consistency. Again, we can find information on Denise Austin at deniseaustin.com. And what's your Twitter handle, Denise?
I think it's at
Denise Austin.
At Denise Austin. And the reason I know it, because I'm your newest follower.
Oh, good. Thank you.
All right. Well, fantastic.
I love your Facebook. I do Twitter as well.
Oh, you're great at Twitter. You respond, Denise. Oh, I love
it. One of my daughters is helping me doing that. Instagram. College daughter.
All right. Well, fantastic. Good talking to you, Denise, and best of luck. And we'll have you back on in a couple months, maybe to talk about some new things and maybe some new developments. Maybe I can tweet out in the Twitter sphere, you're coming back strong and ever. We want a Denise Austin television show. All right. Good talking.
Hey, I love it. Thank you, honey.
All right. Take care, Denise.
Thank you, sonny. All right. So nice talking to you. Let's talk later.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll make that happen. Take care, guys. All right.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right. That was okay. Denise Austin. Bye-bye. You're listening to the Beach Lifestyle radio show on the Simply G Media Network in the celebrity segment, and we'll be back in just a moment.